GE Appliance Park is now hiring full-time positions with up to a $2,500 hiring bonus. Apply today at makeitatthepark.com or text GEA Park to 844-MY-APPLY. That's GEA Park to 844-692-7759. Make a difference. Make it at the park.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Body Armor Edge is sports hydration with a boost of caffeine. With 100 milligrams of caffeine and 1,000 milligrams of electrolytes, Body Armor Edge is boosted hydration for today's athlete. Get your Body Armor Edge today at your local Kroger.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire. The Ring of Fire.
This segment of Stockton Mortgage's Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike forest trails, paddle through clear waters, enjoy a horseback ride, or simply soak up the sights and sounds of nature. Looking for more thrills? Hop on a mountain bike, race through rapids, venture deep underground, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com. Okay, Louie, this is the part I've been looking forward to for the last several days. You go ahead, and you and Megan run the show, and I will give my expert opinions.
Well, there you go. Expertise from Dan Issel on a Friday. There we go. All right, so I am Louie Ribeau alongside Megan Devine. We are two-thirds of the Horse Racing Happy Hour podcast trio, along with Big Fudge, Mike Gandolfo, who is his daughter, I think, last night was high school graduation? And so he is deep in high school graduations. His daughter heading up to St. Francis play some basketball collegiately. So good for her.
Should be cool. Lovely.
Yeah, no, very, very excited for them. And she's a great girl, so she'll do really well in college. But Mike is busy this weekend, so we've had to Preakness ourselves. Megan and I did a 90-minute show on these cards last night. Is that right?
Yeah, it went for a long time.
There you go. Well, we have 90 minutes here, which is great. So we'll shoot for something similar. If people don't know, just like the Derby here, with an Oaks Day on Friday, there is a Black-Eyed Susan Day on Friday at Pimlico. And I'm going to say something very controversial, but I think the finest of the Triple Crown beverages is not the mint julep. I think it's the Black-Eyed Susan.
I probably agree with that.
Yeah.
I prefer the Oaks Lily.
Yeah, I think the Lily is a better drink.
On Friday.
Especially at the track.
And I think Jack's a fan of that, too. Yep. And then I agree with you. I think
much
the Black Eyed
Susan.
It's all about the ladies. It's all about the ladies' cocktails.
Hey, Megan, kind of like don't get in the way of the guys going to get the Bear Nose Pizza. Don't get in Jack's way when he's headed to get... The last time I saw Jack at the track, he had a Lily in both hands. He was drinking them, too. He was drinking them two at a time.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. I mean, they go down easy. I get it.
That all-inclusive is a problem, I'll tell you what.
You can't spend all day waiting in line.
Right. That's
you buy yourself some time if you go two at a time.
It's called advanced planning, and I salute you.
Right.
Well, there you go. People are getting a little bit of the flavor of the podcast. It's playful. You will learn something, but largely just a fun show. We're on every Thursday. You can catch us if you're a Spotify member, by the way. We do a video podcast on Spotify, and so you can actually watch the show, throw it up on your TV, whatever it is you might want to do. But we highlight the major stakes races of the weekend. So, of course, we went straight to Baltimore for the weekend. Today is Black-Eyed Susan Day. It's their Oaks Day in Maryland, highlighted by the Grade 2 Black-Eyed Susan, 4 3-year-old fillies later in the day. But the first stakes race of the day is Race 8, the Allaire du Pont, which is, as I pull this up, for fillies and mares, 3 and up, going a mile and an eighth on the dirt course there. It is 1 million degrees today in Baltimore, and it will be 1.5 million degrees in Baltimore tomorrow.
That's true.
So the tracks will be very fast and very firm. And so, Megan, we looked at the Allaire DuPont last night, and this is, you know, in all of these, this is a distaff, so it's for any female horse that's at least 3 years old, right? And who did we land on here?
I thought this was one of the more competitive races, and I know we talked about that a little bit last night. You know, sometimes you get these big races, these big graded stakes races, and you've got a super heavy favorite in there. You're like, all right, well, this is my single, you know, the chalk's going to win. But I thought that this seemed like a pretty good matchup between quite a few horses. I had the 4 horse on top, that's Super Quick, who is going to run third, start off the layoff. That's an angle that I like. I know it's something that a lot of people kind of jump onto if a horse has had a little vacation, let's say, from the racetrack, whether they had some time off over the wintertime, had an injury, needed to recover from, you know, much like other sports. Sometimes it takes them a little while to get back right into their groove. And I think that could have been the case for her. So this will be her third start after a little bit of a breakaway from the track. And she's really improved with each and every start since then. Last time she ran in the Double Dog Dare at Keeneland, which is always a super competitive race. And that had the likes of Kentucky Oaks winner from a few years ago, Malathat, and Bonnie South in there. So there's no shame in finishing third behind those ladies. So I certainly think Super Quick is the way to go for Norm Cassie and Florent Giroux. But I thought you could consider a horse like the 6 Frost Point as well, who I think will probably not be forwardly placed like last time. And the 2 Into Vanishing for Jonathan Thomas.
There you go. And the one horse that you didn't mention that I really like here is Exotic West, who's coming out of a 2-turn effort at Aqueduct up in New York, not far from where Megan grew up.
Yeah,
not
that's true.
Far, right? We discussed this before. Belmont's actually closer to where you grew up, right?
Yeah, I lived 8 miles away from Belmont Park.
There you go.
So
there
super
you go.
Easy. Aqueduct a little bit further. And we didn't go there very often.
Right. Essentially growing up in Middletown or out on Dixie Highway and Churchill being your home track.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But yeah, Exotic West coming out of that 2-turn win in a listed stakes at Aqueduct. Really impressive. I think the horse is going to like going from that deeper track in New York to a less deep track there in Maryland, and keeps Javier Castellano aboard for trainer Gary Shaka. All right. So those are kind of some of our top picks. I agree with Megan, by the way, the 4 should be on top here Super Quick, getting that class relief out of, even though the Double Dog Dare is a grade 3 at Keeneland, Malathat makes that a grade 3 plus or a grade 2 minus,
yeah,
immediately,
exactly.
Right?
And the so, field is always a really,
yeah,
really good one.
And Frost Point, like you mentioned, Flavien Prat riding today, but not tomorrow, because he's taking his days. Interesting choices by jockeys, but I guess...
Because he didn't have a mount.
Oh, did he not?
Yeah, he didn't have a mount in the
Preakness. Who's not giving Flavien Prat a mount?
Because Zandon's not running in the Preakness.
Oh, that's fair, yeah.
He's skipping the Preakness and the Belmont.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, well, screw it. I don't have a mount in the big race. And to be honest with you, these purses at Pimlico on Preakness Day are not that big.
Got it.
So he's like, eh.
That's true. A lot of list of stakes leading into the...
Well, even the graded stakes races. This is $150,000. That's
right.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays in Kentucky, you've got a maiden special weight for $150,000 or
$120,000 special.
Yeah, exactly.
Four of them on the
so I'm not to throw shade at Pimlico, but sure. Like if I'm Flavien Prat and I'm looking at some other big days coming up on the calendar, I might not ride today.
Dan, did you have a top pick here in the Allaire DuPont?
Yeah, I agree with what Megan said. This is really a competitive race. It's just a 5-horse field with the scratch of Lil' King's Princess. I think there's only one horse that can't win it, and that's the 3, which means she probably will.
By open legs, yeah, right.
But here's what I love about big days. You look at the jocks. You got Castellano riding the 1 horse. You got Luis Saez on the 2. You've got Florent Giroux on the 4, and you've got Flavien on the 6. I mean, jockeys just don't get any better than that.
No, that's right.
My sentimental pick is Frost Point, because we have a mare just the other day was examined in foal to Frosted.
Oh, okay.
Who is the sire of Frost Point. So that's who I'm hoping will win. But I agree with you all. I'm going with Super Quick. The only thing that scares me is I don't know. Of course, she was coming back off a 5-month layoff, but that her last race was very impressive behind Malathat and Bonnie Sal. But the race before that, she got beat 13 lengths at the fairgrounds by Clairiere. But I mean, if you throw that race out, she's right there. So yeah, the 4 is Super Quick is my top pick.
And Clarier came back at Churchill Downs to defeat She Dares the Devil just a couple weeks ago, and so we've seen her be a really quality.
Was that Pauline's Pearl?
Oh, that was Pauline's Pearl. You're right.
Gosh, but still, Clarier is still a super classy horse.
You're right.
And in my opinion, you know, it's kind of one of those. If you look at Super Quick's running style, right, this is a horse that likes to be on the front end. In my opinion, she does kind of lend herself towards being a quote need the lead horse, in which, you know, if they don't find themselves on the front end, they don't win. And if you look at her past performances, the three races in Kentucky on November 12th in 2021, October and September 2021, she led the whole way, she won. So she kind of throws in the towel. And in those two races, in both the Double Dog Dare, at least she held on for a little bit longer, which I think they were probably trying to you know, get that ingrained into her brain. But at Fairgrounds, she's coming back off a long layoff. She doesn't have the lead. She's probably, her heart isn't in it because she's already been passed by horses. You're not going to get a horse like that to come back and re-rally. So what you do is you wrap up, you save your horse for the next time, save her for a better spot. In my opinion, you know, I just draw a line through that 13 length loss because it didn't suit her. She didn't get to run her race. And why would you get to the bottom of the barrel on a horse who's just returning, you know, and going to get back into her best form and, you know, go all in on this race, especially when it was an allowance race, you know?
So I also like the I like the jockey upgrade. Not that Joe Talamo is not a good jockey, but he hasn't really gained a lot of traction since he moved back to the Midwest. And I think Florent Giroux might be one of the most underestimated jockeys in the country. So I like that change as well.
Florent winning the Caesar Stakes at up at Horseshoe Indianapolis on Wednesday ahead of Irad Ortiz in their closer there. Moving to race 9, which is the Hilltop Stakes. This is a $100,000 purse for fillies who are 3-year-olds. We're going a mile on the turf, two turns at Pimlico. And Megan, who did you land on here?
I went with the 4. This is where we took the chalk. Pizza Bianca is trained by Christophe Clement, ridden by Jose Ortiz, at least in the last two races and this race as well, owned by Bobby Flay. And she won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf 2 races ago back at Del Mar. Then she returned in April in a listed stakes race there. Still put in a good performance. She finished 2nd by just 3/4 of a length, but that was to a horse named Consumer Spending, who I believe is trained by Chad Brown. Yep. And is certainly a very good horse in her own right as well. So I didn't think there was much shame in that effort for her. I think she's the classiest of this bunch in here. You know, my one concern is that she is a deep closer. She sat a little bit closer to the pace last time, but she definitely needs a target to run at. Note the 6 horse in here, Diamond Hands, also trained by Christophe Clement, Irad Ortiz aboard, but this horse has the opposite running style, likes to be on the front end. I personally feel like this is a lone speed potential and or a rabbit for Pizza Bianca.
And also by Frosted.
And also by Frosted. So there you go. Why don't, you know what? You just need to bet Frosted all day long, all weekend long after this show.
So, Dan, we do some work with the Green Sheet, the tip sheet folks, actually based here in Louisville. And every week, Megan and I give out our Green Sheet pick of the week. Most likely winner to me, Pizza Bianca, is that horse for the entire weekend at Pimlico. And so I think she's 2nd off the layoff here. We'll have Diamond Hands, like Megan mentioned, to run at. Christophe Clement, 25% 2nd off the layoff, 20% on turf, 21% in stakes. I'll take her coming out of that excellent 2-year-old campaign and look to kickstart her 3-year-old campaign here in the Hilltop. How about for you, though, Dan?
That's an easy pick. Bobby Flay, he is. I've had the opportunity to meet him a couple of times. Ran into him leaving the Derby a couple of years ago. A really nice guy, number one. Which when you have somebody of that celebrity, you like that they turn out to be nice people. But this guy is in love with horse racing.
No question. I know.
I mean, if you said, do you want to go to a horse race or do you want to cook something on a TV show, he'd be at the horse race in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
so,
right.
He's got a nice one here. I think this is the lock of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Miss Preakness is the next race. It's the one-turn race for 3-year-old fillies. It's $150,000. It is a grade 3, 6 furlongs on the dirt course at Pimlico. Some big scratches in this race. The 2 Under the Stars is out. of this race, and that was going to be the Santa Anita Shipper, who had run in the Santa Anita Oaks, and previously, though, was trained by Bob Baffert. And so this was one of the absolute favorites, was 8-5 on the morning line, scratches out here. Changes my look at the race now, because I think you've now got a potential single here.
See, this was my single already. Before Under the Stars had scratched out, my green sheet finger pick of the race single was
Pinkies Out,
Happy Soul. So I already was on board with that. I'm just a little sad now because I'm not going to get the 5-2 price, correct, second choice. Because
yep.
Everybody's going to jump on this bandwagon. But yeah, I personally loved Happy Soul when I looked at this card earlier this week. And, you know, this is just a classic example of they tried to run her a little bit longer. She's a horse that had 4 starts, all of them at 6 furlongs or below, so definitely a sprinter type. And then at Keeneland in the Grade 1 Ashland, which is obviously a prep for the Kentucky Oaks, and produced Nest as the winner there, who I think is a super talented filly. She finished 2nd in this year's Kentucky Oaks. So they tried to bring this horse long, and she didn't run anywhere. She held on for about half the race, which is what sprinters do, and then she finished 25 lengths behind the winner. So in my opinion, it was a failed experiment. All right, let's go back to what she's good at, sprinting.
Yep.
This is a sprint race. It just seemed clear cut. Wesley Ward's such an excellent trainer. He does so well. I mean, in graded stakes races alone this year, he wins at 32%. That is massive.
Yep.
So he certainly knows what he's doing out there. And this is a horse that at least has had a lot of speed on the front end, has led a couple times. But I like in the stakes race at Oaklawn, she actually took a breath. And we talk about that a lot on the show. You know, one of those horses was Epicenter that we talked about, in that he was always a speed horse, always needed to be on the front end. And his Louisiana Derby race coming into the Kentucky Derby, they actually took him off the pace. He got to relax. He got to take a breath. And that's a sign of maturity. And especially when you're talking about 3-year-old horses, which Happy Soul is, obviously Epicenter is, it's just another dimension that they can add to their racing repertoire. And it really helps them. If you're a one-dimensional horse, you're vulnerable. If you have something else to pull from, you can, you know, attack from two different things, whether you're on the lead or sitting just off the pace, you give yourself a better chance to win the race.
So resetting just a little bit, in case you're hearing a woman's voice at ESPN Louisville and you're very confused, her name is Megan Devine. She joins me every week.
And it's not Avery.
It's not Avery. That's right. There you are. On the Horse Racing Happy Hour podcast, where Thursday nights available right now wherever you get your podcast, we're previewing the Black Eyed Susan card at Pimlico today. We're currently on the Miss Preakness race, which is race 10. Big scratch Under the Stars. The 2 has been scratched out of here. Something that we talk about on the show as well. You watch these horses, especially young fillies, young colts, who are they're trying to find out, are they Oaks horses? Are they Derby horses?
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, you take a Happy Soul and you stretch her out of the Ashland and she just doesn't like it. Wesley Ward goes from route to sprint at 38%.
Right.
Right. So he knows when let's try this. Let's give this a run. She didn't like it. Getting back to that sprint today with the defection of Under the Stars here seems to be the main contender here. The other horse that I really liked here was Lady Scarlet, Mike Maker, Irad Ortiz, the 3. So 3-6 for me in this race. I definitely have the 6 on top, though. How about you, Mike? Or Dan? Good God, I keep saying used to these Fridays with Mike. I'm sorry.
I'm with Megan. Happy Soul. I was at Keeneland for the Ashland. A absolutely miserable day, and my good friend Wayne Lister, who owns Ashview Farm, and I want to talk more about him when we get to the Pimlico special.
Sure.
Because he's got a horse in there that he bred untreated. But I think there were like 7 people in the grandstand at Keeneland that day.
I think that was the day that we had every possible weather scenario.
Yeah,
it was like cold, snowing, right. Yep. Raining, sunshine, yep. Wind, everything. But,
typical Kentucky day.
It honestly was. I mean, you just waited 10 minutes and the weather changed.
But when the race was over, we didn't pay any attention to the weather, because Wayne's Farm bred Nest, who won that race
so easily,
eight and a quarter, yeah, and wound up being the favorite. And I don't want to take anything away from Secret Oath, because she ran a great race. Saez gave her a great ride in the Oaks, but Nest, where Saez came around the outside, Nest had to kind of wait for room inside and finish 2nd. And here's the interesting thing, and Pletcher has done this before with a filly with rags to riches, but I think, don't be surprised if Nest doesn't show up in the Belmont Stakes.
I think thought of that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be her next start. But, yep, Happy Soul for me. Easy pick there.
So, quick question before we move on. As the novice horse racing player of the four of us, by far not even close, would I be smart to do a double with Pizza Bianca and Happy Soul?
The problem would be the payouts are going to be very low.
Yeah, no, I'm realizing it's not going to make a lot of money. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to make money.
If you've got
on
a big base bet and you're okay with the payout being low, you know, you can justify it a little bit. But it's especially with the scratch of Under the Stars, it's going to be tough to make.
What I would do, Jack, is I would look more, and I haven't looked at the options. I would look more at using a pick, betting a pick three or a pick four, and maybe singling those two horses, mm-hmm. and hope you get a price in one of the other races, like the race that we're going to talk about now.
Yeah, because if you single in there, so race number 9, the Hilltop, which is the race with Pizza Bianca, starts a 50-cent pick 5. So essentially, you can play, quote, a free pick 3 in a way, because if you single in race 9, you single in race 10, you know, that's 1 by 1, you're still at 1, and then you times that by the amount of horses that you're using in races 11, 12, and 13. And so you give yourself a better chance at basically the same price as you would if it was a pick 3, right? If you're singling in there,
I like this in a way.
So not the same price, but you know what I mean? You're saving there, and you're giving yourself to play a bet that has potentially a much bigger payout. And, well, hopefully, if the chalk doesn't win everywhere.
Yeah, Louis did give me a pick 3 last weekend that I lost money on.
Okay.
Right.
The worst is when you win, but you lose.
Well, I will say this, though. I would rather do that than bet the 3 individual races and lose 3 times. I still get the excitement of winning and the excitement of, like, I knew I wasn't going to win very much money, if anything, on
the last
race. We
played, like, a $2 pick 3, and it cost $10. It paid $6 or something.
We got the whole group of people I was in and with it on. We had a blast with it. And you know what? 3 races, losing $5, I'm fine with that. No.
Well, sometimes you got to take a shot too, because I do that as well, and you put in some, you know, bigger long shots. You're like, yes, this horse should win this race, but this is a big field or whatever, and so you put in a couple long shots. If it comes in, you get lucky, you get paid. You know, if the favorite wins, you didn't necessarily lose that much. So,
all right, so we'll move to race 11 here, the very one. This is a sprint, turf sprint here, 5 furlongs for fillies and mares 3 and up. $100,000 purse here, the listed stakes. I'll go first here because my upset of the day is in this race, the outside horse, the 12, Adelaide Miss. Everything that trainer Brittany Russell does well, she's asking Miss Adelaide Miss to do here. 31% off the layoff, 32% route to sprint, and 27% in stakes. No one in the country, very few I should say, in the country, pick their spots as well as trainer Brittany Russell does. And she hits at absurd levels with jockey Javion Toledo. Javion Toledo, by the way, started the meet at Pimlico going 6 for 9. And so 10-1 morning line. No way the horse is at that number come post time. So to me, Jack, this is an example of a horse 10-1 on the morning line that you can use in that kind of pick 3 with those other two horses first. And that's where you get your value, right? And so I love those numbers there for Brittany Russell, who I really have a lot of respect for in the Maryland circuit. I think she does a great job. And so the 12 on top for me, I do think Irad on the 2, Honey Pants, who's been running really, really good clips in the heat at Gulfstream Park. The weather's going to be warm. I look for Florida horses to have a good day in Maryland. And the 10, Paint Them Blues Away, is a listed stakes monster. I think you use all three here, the 12, the 2, and the 10.
I love the 10 because this is a perfect example of a horse that I think you can write some excuses for. You know, obviously she doesn't like soft ground. 2 races back, the fairgrounds had a little bit of moisture in the turf course. It was also a tougher field. LZ is a pretty nice horse. Time Limit as well, who finished 3rd in there. So you had some very, very good horses. And then at Laurel, she was over a yielding turf course. She finished 6th, you know, absolutely nowhere. And she certainly fit in that allowance class. So as long as the ground is firm, which we said, it's going to be hot and dry.
Yep, for sure.
Today and tomorrow at Pimlico. So she doesn't have that, you know, that weakness in the soft ground potential. She's got some speed. She can sit off the pace. She's been training at Delaware. And Jane Savelli is a very good trainer. She actually wins at 18% in stakes races. So, you know, albeit just, you know, one of the lower profile barns. She's only run 52 horses this year. She's winning at 12%. She's one of those that, in my opinion, really places her horse as well. Tommy Drury comes to mind as a trainer here in Kentucky that also does that. Maybe doesn't have the biggest stable, but really does a good job in finding the good spots for his horses, and oftentimes can bring a really competitive runner to that field. So I like the fact that she's also shipped this horse quite a few times. I mean, she's run at Tampa, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Laurel, you know, Monmouth, everywhere. So it's definitely a horse that brings her race with her. And I like to see that on a big day like today. So I went 10-2 in here, and then I thought about the 12 horse your Adelaide Miss. So I agree with Louie in saying that this is one of those races where you can probably put in a few longer shots, like a 10-1. You know, the 10 horse, I believe, is only 3-1, and then the 2 is 5-2. So you've got some chalk there, but you give yourself a possible chance to make some money in this if there's a bit of an upset over the 5 furlongs.
Hey, how about you, Dan? Give us your pick here and take us to break.
Yeah, I think the thing that's interesting, and I agree with everything you said, I think this is a race that you have to spread in. Painter has turned out to be a pretty good turf horse, a sire, and I don't think Painter ever ran on the grass. But so I would put 10 first, but I think you have to spread. Now, you two are both too, you three are all too young to remember this, but what I find very ironic is that the very one is at 5 furlongs on the grass. The very one was a turf mare who wanted to run a mile and a half.
And she
has a race named after 5 furlongs.
That's funny.
On the turf. Hey, a reminder that this segment of the show has been brought to you by Kentucky Tourism. Are you looking for some thrills this weekend? Hop on a mountain bike, race through Whitewater Rapids, or zip through the treetops. This is Kentucky. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.